It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Tuesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy again today while Sandy takes a little bit of a break. I love that opening there where she says, we're not called to be nice. I try to be a nice guy. I really.
You are a nice guy, Fred.
But you know, the other half of that, we're called to be declaration of truth. That's what we're called to do. And sometimes the truth hurts.
Yeah, it does.
And sometimes it's even difficult, Rob Gardner is the other voice you're hearing here. Sometimes it's difficult to get to the truth because sometimes the truth is being held back for various reasons.
It's just part of this world doesn't want the truth out.
Yes.
You know, the dark side does not want truth out.
Nope.
It's just, it's the way it's been written since the beginning.
Yeah. And to that end, here's the headline that just came across the Associated Press a few moments ago. More campaign fires back against media and accuser. Last night, Alabama Republican Roy Moore's campaign put out a press release in which it quotes another lady, a waitress, who worked at the Old Hickory restaurant, where you will remember about 8 days ago, a former waitress there came out with allegations against Justice Moore that have been the topic of a lot of news coverage over the last several days. But this waitress who worked there for 3 years tells a very different story than what you heard at that news conference 8 days ago with the lawyer Gloria Allred. And we're going to get to that in just a few moments. But first, got to get to some other breaking news this morning. Allegations against Congressman Conyers, John Conyers, Democrat congressman from Michigan. Now, this story is from the Associated Press, so let me read you a little bit of this. If you've been listening to the news this morning, got a little bit of this. Michigan Congressman John Conyers settled a complaint in 2015 from a woman who alleged she was fired from his Washington staff because she rejected his sexual advances. And AP is quoting BuzzFeed News. The website reported yesterday that Conyers' office paid the woman over $27,000 to settle the complaint under a confidentiality agreement. BuzzFeed also published affidavits from former staff members who said they had witnessed Conyers touching female staffers inappropriately, rubbing their legs and backs, or requesting sexual favors. One former staffer said one of her duties was to keep a list of women that I assumed he was having affairs with and call them at his request and, if necessary, have them flown in using congressional resources. So that is the allegation that is being made overnight against Democrat Congressman from Michigan, John Conyers. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, in response to this, said Monday she was unaware of the settlement by Conyers, said the current process, I'm quoting Pelosi here, the current process includes the signing of non-disclosure agreements by the parties involved. So there you have it. That is the latest allegation being made that he paid off women to silence them. $27,000 is what's being reported here. We'll see how that story goes today. The other story that broke late yesterday involves Charlie Rose. You may not be familiar with him. He's a longtime anchor with CBS and has also worked with PBS. And as the AP again reporting this morning, Charlie Rose is the latest public figure to be felled by sexual misconduct allegations, with PBS halting distribution of his nightly interview show and CBS News suspending him following a Washington Post report with the accusations of 8 women. Rose, who is 75, said in a statement in reaction to these allegations that he was deeply embarrassed and apologized for his behavior. So one has to assume some or perhaps all of the allegations being made against Charlie Rose are true if he's apologizing and saying he's ashamed. So that is what's going on out there. It's almost, Rob, it's epidemic we're talking about now. And so there have been several people accused of things who have denied, and now we have several. Al Franken yesterday, another woman came forward with an allegation against him. He's the Democrat senator from Minneapolis area, Minnesota. And so, but he has said, and you remember the talk show host made the allegation against him last week, and you saw the picture of him doing something inappropriate with her while she slept on an Air Force plane. They had been at a USO event. This is back several years ago. So all of that is going on. And it kind of wiped the Roy Moore story off the news agenda, at least yesterday. But as I just reported a few moments ago, last night, the Roy Moore campaign put out a press release quoting another woman who worked at this Old Hickory restaurant back in the late 70s. Now, first, though, before I get to what she is saying, this other waitress, I want to take you back 8 days ago to a news conference that was widely, widely reported, led the newscasts last Monday evening. And this was Beverly Nelson, who identified herself as a former waitress at the Old Hickory House restaurant there in Gadsden, Alabama. She said when she was 15, she said Roy Moore was a regular customer at that restaurant where she worked, and that he did sexually assault her on one evening. So I want to take you back. What you're going to hear next is a portion of that news conference with Beverly Nelson talking about the fact she worked at the restaurant and saying Moore was a regular customer. Let's listen to her words.
When I was 15 years old, I began working after school. I was attending Gadsden High School. I worked at the Old Hickory House, which was on East Meegan Boulevard off of Highway 431 in Gadsden. I worked there after school as a waitress. Some nights I worked until 7 p.m. and other nights until 10 p.m. Mr. Roy Moore was a regular customer. He came in almost every night, and he would stay until closing time. He sat at the counter in the same seat night after night.
All right. So that is Beverly Nelson from that news conference with a lawyer, Gloria Allred, who sat beside her during that news conference. She also talked about her house being about 2.5 miles away and getting a ride with Roy Moore, and described the scene of what happened afterwards, that he took around the back of that restaurant one night and sexually assaulted her. That is her story. It has been widely reported out there. As I say, last night, the Roy Moore campaign put out statements from Rhonda Ledbetter. She is a retired public school teacher who is currently the senior choir director at a Baptist church, I assume there in Gadsden, and teaches children at a local church-sponsored daycare center. She was a waitress at Old Hickory House for almost 3 years, from 1977 to 1979. All right? That is the period in which Beverly Nelson says that she worked at that restaurant. All right, I want to read you a bit of what that press release says, quoting Rhonda Ledbetter. She was a college student at Jacksonville State University at the time and worked varying shifts at different times of the day, multiple days a week during the time of her employment. She said in a statement, quote, "When I heard the Beverly Nelson story, there were several details that were different from what I remember. I was nervous at coming forward because of all the attention this story has gotten, but as a moral and ethical person, I had to speak up about what I know to be true. I was a waitress at Old Hickory for almost 3 years, from 77 to 79. Now listen to this, folks. This is a direct contradiction from what you just heard Beverly Nelson said. Remember, Nelson said Roy Moore used to come in on a regular basis, and he sat at the counter, same place, every time he came in. Now, this is what Rhonda Ledbetter says. She says she worked at this restaurant 77 to 79, and I'm quoting from the press release here, and I never saw Roy Moore come in the restaurant, not one time. And I would have noticed because most of our customers weren't wearing suits, especially not at night. Now, she explains, put that in context, she says many customers worked at Goodyear next door, I assume it was a factory, and would stop in on their way to and from work. And I don't remember anyone from the courthouse coming in at all. That just wasn't our crowd. Now, they go on in the press release to quote Rhonda Ledbetter. All right, so I'm going to read those quotes. A few things stuck out to me, she says. First, Nelson said she was 15 years old when she started working there, but you had to be 16. I don't remember her from my time there, and I don't remember any 15-year-olds working there at all. Second, Nelson said the restaurant closed at 10 p.m., but I know the earliest it closed was 11, though I believe it was midnight. I'm certain of that because Goodyear employees came in to eat after their shift ended at 10 p.m., so there's no way we would have closed at that time. Third, the area wasn't dark and isolated as she described. Remember, Nelson described as Roy Moore putting her in the car, taking her around back near a dumpster where she says he carried out a sexual assault. Ledbetter says, rather, the building was right off the busy four-lane highway and people in cars were always around. The restaurant had a wraparound porch like the ones at Cracker Barrel restaurants, and there were lights all around the sides of the building, so it wasn't dark, and anyone in the parking lot was visible from the road. So we're getting two very different stories. Fourth, she says, the dumpsters were to the side of the building, not around back, and there sure wasn't room to park in between the building and the dumpsters. People from the kitchen would take out trash out the side door and throw it right into the dumpsters. We were always told to park on the side of the building because there just wasn't much room behind it. All right. So as I say, now you have two distinctly different accounts of how things operated at this Old Hickory restaurant there in Gadsden back in the late 70s. You have two people who claim they worked there, and they're telling very different stories about Roy Moore. And certainly, Nelson's accusation, Beverly Nelson's accusation that Roy Moore came in there on a regular basis, is totally refuted by Ledbetter, who says she, over that 3 years, she never saw Roy Moore. And remember, Roy Moore was a well-known figure in that area. Now, here's a disturbing part, as equally disturbing part of all this. This is, again, Rhonda Ledbetter in her statement that was put out last night by the Roy Moore campaign. She said, I came forward because from what I have seen, the media is only interested in reporting one side of this story. In fact, Dixon Hayes from WRBC in Birmingham asked for former employees to contact him, but never responded when I told him. I never saw Roy Moore come into Old Hickory House during the 3 years I worked there. Two other news outlets in the state asked to interview me, and I agreed, but neither one has aired my interview, and I have to wonder why they don't think the people of Alabama deserve to hear anything that counteracts the accusations against Judge Moore. You understand what's going on here, folks? She offered to tell her story to the media, and they don't want to listen. This is disturbing, folks.
Yes, it is.
Extremely disturbing. We'll talk a little bit more and much more ahead here in Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in. We're back after the break.
So What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Imagine being falsely accused of a crime and held as a prisoner for years, waiting for your trial. What do you think your top prayer request would be? Well, the Apostle Paul found himself in this exact situation near the end of his life. And do you know what he asked the church to pray for? From Colossians chapter 4. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. And if Paul's greatest felt need in prison was for greater clarity in proclaiming Christ, how much more do you and I need that in our everyday lives? You can get Anchor Devotional delivered to your home in print every month. Just visit getanchor.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The basketball fans in Garden City, Kansas are a patriotic bunch like Jim Howard. He's been volunteering at the community college games for more than 30 years now. The other day during the season opener, one of the players grabbed a basketball and started shooting hoops during the national anthem. So after the song, Mr. Howard made a beeline to courtside, gave the player a piece of his mind. There was no physical confrontation, just verbal. But now the Sheriff's Department's investigating, and Mr. Howard could face charges. The Booster Club gave Mr. Howard the heave-ho after 32 years of volunteer service, ejected for defending the national anthem. The ball player defended his actions, says his Muslim faith prohibits acts of reverence to anyone other than God. Well, if in fact that is true, the player should have stayed inside the locker room with his teammates instead of acting the fool in public. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. We have been talking about a press release put out by the Roy Moore campaign last night, which quotes testimony from other people who are refuting the accusations made by Beverly Nelson. She is the woman that held the news conference about a week ago, made accusations against Roy Moore. She said when she worked at this old Hickory House restaurant back in the late 70s, Roy Moore was a regular customer, and she went on to accuse Roy Moore of sexually assaulting her. All right? So Roy Moore campaign last night puts out statements being made by other people who are familiar with this restaurant and were in and around either customers or worked there. We just have been quoting statements made by a former waitress there. Her name is Rhonda Ledbetter. But the press release also quotes John Bellew Sr., former police officer with over two decades of experience with the Etowah, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, County Sheriff's Department, and the Gadsden Police Department. Gadsden is where this restaurant was. He says he was an officer in the county sheriff's department in the 1970s, which means I worked in the courthouse and I knew who Roy Moore was since he was the deputy district attorney at the time. Says he was a regular customer at Old Hickory House, and I never once saw Judge Moore come in there. If he had, I would have immediately recognized him. I also never met Beverly Nelson during any of the many times I frequented that restaurant. And I can't say that she even worked there. The press release also quotes Renee Shavira of Huntsville, Alabama, who states, I was a waitress at the Old Hickory House during the summer of 77 before my senior year of high school. When I heard Beverly Nelson's story, the first thing that stuck out to me was that I don't remember Roy Moore ever coming into the restaurant. I also don't remember her working there. The other thing that struck me as odd is that from my best recollection, the dumpsters were to the side of the building. You remember that is what Ledbetter said also. Now, what does this all mean? Well, a couple of things. This is still a he says, she says story. It is. The big difference is that you now have testimony from other people that totally refutes what you heard from Beverly Nelson a week ago. Very different stories. In particular, what sticks out to me at least, Beverly Nelson's claim that Roy Moore was a regular customer. Saw him there all the time, sat in the same place, according to her. These three witnesses, two of them former waitresses at the same restaurant in Gadsden, say they don't remember him ever coming in. In addition to that, the sheriff, this former sheriff, says, I don't remember Roy Moore because I was a frequent customer at that restaurant myself. I knew Roy Moore well because I was around the courthouse. He says, never saw him there. Someone is lying. Someone is lying. The other aspect of all this is that the mainstream media, this is what's disturbing about Ledbetter's testimony in this press release, that she has gone to some of the media outlets there in Alabama and told her side of the story, and at least as of this morning, she claims, they have not reported this. Even the Associated Press story that I have in front of me, that we have on our website right now, folks. It's a three-paragraph story. Alabama Republican Roy Moore's campaign is going on the offensive against the media and one of the women who accused him of sexual misconduct. Moore's campaign has issued a Monday night statement questioning the account of Beverly Nelson, who said Moore assaulted her when she was a 16-year-old waitress. The campaign is quoting two restaurant employees who do not remember Nelson or Moore eating there. And that's it. They don't quote. This press release is very detailed, folks. It came out last night. That's enough time for the Associated Press and these other media outlets to at least quote what they say about this. But I'm not seeing it. And just before I came in the studio, I checked both the Washington Post front page this morning and the New York Times. Their accounts are not even mentioned. Which goes to the accusation. Where is the media's sense of fairness? Where is good journalism in this? At the very least, because you quoted Beverly Nelson so extensively just a week ago in her accusations, why now that you have other people who are saying they worked there and totally refuting Beverly Nelson's statements, why aren't you at least reporting what they say? Now, you can say they are claiming this. Go ahead, media, say that they're claiming this. Give their statements and say we haven't checked this out. That's fine. But you were so willing to accept the statements of Beverly Nelson a week ago and widely reporting it. My challenge to the media this morning, the national media this morning, is why aren't you treating these three individuals being quoted in this press release with the same kind of integrity?
Fred, my question when you read that about the Moore campaign having to come out against the media, my question is, why should anyone have to come out against the media? Yeah. Isn't the media supposed to give who, what, when, where? and how.
That's the way it used to be, Rob.
Yeah.
But it's not anymore.
I'm daydreaming, aren't
I? Yeah. I've stated this publicly before. I believe most journalists today in the mainstream media now have a new mission.
Right.
They are out to promote their ideology, most of which has been learned in liberal universities. They see themselves as agents of change,
mm-hmm.
not purveyors of what's going on and reflectors of what's going on. They see themselves as agents of change. So I'm going to be anxious to see, as this day rolls along, what's going to be said, what's going to be reported about the testimony of these individuals in this press release. I would, at the very least, if I was a journalist in Alabama, and there are all kinds of national journalists in Alabama, they have reporters reporting from there every night in Gadsden. Are you going to seek out these individuals and ask them to repeat their testimony? Do you think I'll see their testimony on the nightly news tonight? I'm a little bit tongue-in-cheek there. All right. We're going to move on. Dr. Alex McFarland is joining us right now. He's the director of Christian Worldview and Apologetics, and you may know him from our own program here, Exploring the Word, on American Family Radio. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's great to be on with you.
Good to be with you. Alex, first, there are a couple of things I want to get to, but first, what do you make of this mess that we seem to be in this country right now? With regards to all these stories coming out, we mentioned off the top of the show now the allegations being made by against Democrat Congressman John Conyers of Michigan, mm-hmm. Charlie Rose, CBS anchor and PBS anchor as well, Al Franken, the list goes on and on and on, it seems, not to mention the Hollywood figures. How did this country get to this point where there's so much open immorality going on?
Well, it's interesting that we are to this point, and one of the names that keeps coming up over and over, as you know, there seems to be days of reckoning on both sides, left and right, and in Hollywood too, but one of the names that keeps coming up is the name of Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. And for the record, let us be unequivocally clear. Sexual harassment is wrong. No one should have to be forced to endure unwanted advances. Men and women made in the image of God need to be treated with respect and dignity. And so for the record, sexual harassment is wrong and is unacceptable in all contexts. Mm-hmm. And we know this. But here's the thing. The left has been very selective about their outrage. The left has been very selective about who they want to point the finger at and demonize. And, you know, many of us that have been watching politics for a long time, I mean, we know the national demeanor changed in the 1990s when then-President Bill Clinton really, really tainted the political landscape of the country. I mean, I remember coming home from college just being red-faced, embarrassed, to sit there with my parents while the news was on, and President Clinton and all of his dalliances and everything from Jennifer Flowers, Monica Lewinsky. But here's the thing, as Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, and Nancy Pelosi all said, you know, when they asked, you know, why didn't you all go after Bill Clinton, who was, you know, as bad a rogue as ever came down the pike? And they all said, well, because we had to protect him because he was pro-choice. So apparently in the eyes of the left, if you're pro-choice, that makes it okay to be a sexual harasser.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, there's a lot of names floating around now, but really, we can thank the Clinton crime cartel for changing the national discourse when it comes to politics, mudslinging, morality, or lack thereof in the lives of our leaders. We really have never been the same as a country since the Clinton years in the 90s.
We're talking with Dr. Alex McFarland, who is a well-known author and, of course, co-host here in Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. It's heard every afternoon at 3 o'clock Central. Alex, all of this, and I know you go out and you speak around the country a lot of the times, obviously to churches, to young people. what do you hear from young people today with regards to their reaction to where we are, which seems to be a moral sewer in this country? Our political leaders falling into this category, this moral sewer, as we talk about Hollywood, that sort of thing. What do you hear from young people? Because I've got to believe this is having an impact on their worldview and the world that they're coming into, and they are soon going to be leaders. What's the impact of all of this on them?
Oh, great question. Great question, Fred. You know, it is my privilege to speak to, you know, anywhere from 100 to 200,000 teens a year, have done for 20 years. And I really love to talk to young people and kind of get where their mind is and what they're thinking. You know, three quick things that I want to say is, number one, I'm very concerned for the lack of patriotism. It's almost like young people, especially young people that go to public school or public university, they're almost conditioned to not love America and not to feel pride for this country. And I mean, long term, if we don't instill some patriotism and some citizenship and love of country, I mean, it will undermine national security, and maybe already is. But the other thing is, young people have trouble trusting any leaders. I mean, there are people rightly accused, and there are people wrongly accused. And there are people who rightly defend themselves, and there are people who lie in order to attempt to defend themselves. And many young people are just, they can't, like, trust much of anybody, and that's understandable. But the third thing I would say, and this is very key, I have even Christian young people that will ask me this. They'll say, okay, you know, somebody's a good leader, but they have this double life, but who cares, young people will ask. They'll say, if somebody's a good leader or the economy's good, so what if they, you know, do unspeakable things in their private life? Let me tell you why it matters, why the connection between morality and leadership, character, and the ability to lead. Here's the bottom line, and I said this during the Clinton years, and I would say it now. If you will backstab your spouse, you'll betray anybody. I mean, this is why the morality of a man matters, and a woman. If you would betray the closest relative you have in this world, which is your spouse, then heaven help the rest of us. Yeah. There is an important link between character and leadership, and may God help that we rediscover that important tie.
Alex, are churches doing a good job of preparing their young people for the world they're entering?
Many churches are doing a good job. Many churches perhaps could do a better job. I really do think that in the American church, we've got to rediscover what I would call the life of the mind, and we need to teach doctrine, and we need to teach the authority of Scripture. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, said this, and I love it. But Wesley said the local congregation deserves the highest scholarship the church has to offer. 40 years ago, Willow Creek Church in Barrington, Illinois, pioneered what they call seeker-sensitive ministry. And it's been an overwhelmingly net negative. And so many churches have really watered things down. And the result is, I mean, we have kind of like a Christianity light. It's almost like a lot of American evangelicals, and not all, I mean, I've spoken in 2,200 churches. Well, 2,200 churches a couple of years ago, and we just stopped counting. My point is, it's been my joy, and it is my privilege to experience the church landscape throughout all 50 states. Many churches are just so kind of weak and light, and it's almost like people are inoculated against true Christianity because they've been given a weak strain. I think in the church, we need to teach worldview, we need to teach Scripture, we need to teach the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So what if the world doesn't understand, and so what if people, you know, are not always on board? We are called to follow Christ, and we've got to be 100% serious about doing that.
All right, Alex McFarland. Alex, how can people learn more about you and where you are, and perhaps book you?
Well, they can text 555-888, the word revival. Text 555-888, the word revival.
All right.
My website, alexmcfarland.com.
All right. Talk to you again, Alex. We're back right after the break.
And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Good news? The U.S.-backed coalition is beating the stuffing out of ISIS. They've retaken Mosul and nearly all of Raqqa in Syria. Bad news? The ISIS defeat has created yet another power vacuum where Sunni and Shiite Muslims are once again openly vying for Middle East dominance. Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Turkey all want to run the Muslim world. The theater has moved to Lebanon, and it possibly implicates the U.S. and Russia should war break out. Keep your eyes on the Middle East.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Maryland's Peace Cross has honored veterans for 92 years. It's now unconstitutional. For years, vestiges of our religious past are being removed. In the 1960s, communist dictator Mao did the same thing in China. His purpose was to cleanse the nation of old statues and ideas. God is a threat to man-centered government. Those who believe in God must be re-educated or removed. Sadly, what's happening in America is what happened in communist China. Let's stop it while we can. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Many in America seem to have forgotten that its foundation was built on God. In this 40th year celebration of the American Family Association, we invite you to help us remind America once again of the truth behind our national motto, In God We Trust. You can do your part and display your faith with an In God We Trust car decal from the AFA store. Order yours today with free shipping at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. Chances are, even if you're an active Christian, you're still walking around with no joy in your life. I was there until I discovered God's purpose for my life. It was like I was trying to earn my way into God's favor by doing good things. But it's not about what we do, it's about what He did. Whether you're at the top of your game or facing the trial of your life, it's not by accident. God's placed you there to be His spokesman to those around you, who He died for and loves just as much as you. And when you do that, God promises in John 15:11 that you'll have your joy in spite of your circumstances every day. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Revelations of sexual abuse are taking down powerful politicians, journalists, celebrities, and others every day. It would be bizarre and a serious miscarriage of justice if a federal judge were to make it easier for perpetrators to get away with sexual abuse. District Judge Bernard Friedman is being asked to do just that today by individuals charged with mutilating the genitals of little girls in Michigan. The alleged mutilators claim they didn't get sexual gratification from their actions, so the charge of sexual abuse should be dropped. If the judge agrees, effectively rewriting the law, victims may have to prove that their abusers got sexual gratification out of their conduct. What if it was just a power trip or a social pathology, but not orgasmic? Urge Judge Friedman not to enable sexual abuse. Call him at 313-234-5170. That's 313-234-5170. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this Thanksgiving week. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. Would like to get your reaction to the news of the day. And the major story, I guess, this morning is the press release put out by the Roy Moore campaign last night. In that press release, they quote at least three people who tell a very different story than Beverly Nelson did last week in that news conference. Beverly Nelson says she's a former worker at the Old Hickory House restaurant there in Gadsden. You probably have seen the report from that news conference where she claimed that Roy Moore was a regular customer there at that restaurant when she worked there back in the late 70s. And she accused Roy Moore of sexually assaulting her one night when he was in the restaurant. The three people being quoted in the Roy Moore press release this morning basically totally refute what Beverly Nelson had to say. Probably the most quoted in this press release is Rhonda Ledbetter, who said she was a waitress at the Old Hickory House from 1977 to 79. And she said, among other things, that she cannot remember once Roy Moore coming into that restaurant. Nelson said he was a regular customer, sat in the same place every night. She cannot remember Roy Moore coming into that restaurant, not once. And she describes a very different scene as to what the exterior of the restaurant was where the alleged assault against Nelson took place. The press release from last night from the Roy Moore campaign also quotes a former sheriff in Gadsden, said he was a regular customer there, was very familiar with Roy Moore, used to see him around the courthouse because he was as an assistant DA at that time, and he never saw Roy Moore. They also quote another waitress who said she never saw Roy Moore in that restaurant even once. The other aspect for this press release from the Roy Moore campaign last night are the statements from Rhonda Ledbetter, this waitress who worked there for 3 years. She said she has taken her story to several local media outlets there in Alabama, and to this point, she says they have refused to report her side of the story. So, disturbing on a number of points. Now, as I mentioned, this is still a he says, she says story. I understand that. But what I don't understand is why the mainstream media is not reporting these other testimonies from these other individuals who say they are acquainted, worked at the restaurant, were customers at the restaurant, and their side of the story is not even being told. To me, that gives credit to the accusations that some of the testimony we've heard so far is false. The media has a campaign going against Roy Moore, and this would seem to justify those concerns being raised about how the media is reporting this story, which goes to all kinds of other questions as to what is the media's agenda. All right, the day is young. That press release just came out last night. As I mentioned, I haven't seen anything in Washington Post, New York Times story as of an hour ago. The Associated Press has a three-paragraph story where they mentioned that there are some people coming forward to refute what Beverly Nelson had to say. But basically, they don't expand. They don't tell much in the way of what these other people had to say, Rob.
I would just like to add, you know, there's only one thing that anybody should be after in this entire situation, mm-hmm. and that's truth.
Absolutely.
If Roy Moore did this, mm-hmm. he needs to pay the price. Mm-hmm. If he didn't do this and these allegations are false, they need to pay a price of perjury or whatever the charge would be. Mm-hmm. They've discredited a man if their charges are not right.
Yeah.
I mean, I just say let truth come out.
Yeah.
Let the media speak the truth about it. Let them tell both sides,
mm-hmm.
and we'll let the you know the cards fall where they may. But just come on, folks. Let's get back to truth.
Yeah, that would be refreshing.
It would be refreshing.
Let journalists get back to the idea of reflecting both sides of the story,
right.
and allowing the people to make decisions for themselves. 888-589-8840. We've got a lot of calls coming in already. So let's go to our calls right now. Let's go to Texas first. And Judy. Judy, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm a little nervous. I don't call in very much. But I've been trying to call for a week. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to you guys forever, for, I don't know, 20 years or more. And I get all my savvy from you guys. That's mm-hmm. where I get all my news and my way of thinking. And for the life of me, I could not figure out all week why nobody was talking about what was obvious to me, that the deep state or the conspiracy, what do you call it in the conspiracy, corruption in Washington, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. was, they weren't just looking for someone to come out with a story on him. They were purposely going out and finding someone to lie. They're finding someone to make up a lie and a good actor to do this. It was obvious that that was what was going on, and they were looking for someone to be a good actor and paying them to do this.
So Judy,
finding others to do the same.
Yeah, well, you're talking about Roy Moore, I know. But obviously, you were skeptical about this already. Has Judy left us? No, she's still there.
Oh, from the time in the beginning when the main guy, Tim, comes out and says, you know, this is sound credible. And then someone else says, yeah, but all the women don't believe it. Well, I didn't believe it from the beginning. It didn't sound right. It was obvious that lady was lying. So
yeah.
Anyway, I am just so glad that God's truth is now coming forth. And that's what the word says, is in the end, that the truth would be revealed, and it's happening. And I'm just thankful. And I'm thankful to you guys for putting it out there. Thank you.
All right, Judy. Very good. So Judy, at least for one person, is believing the testimony that's come out through this press release from the Roy Moore campaign. We want to stress this. The testimony from these three individuals came out through a press release put out last night by the Roy Moore campaign. And to the point, you know, when you hear the allegations that have been made against Roy Moore, the immediate question is, a couple of questions. Why did people wait 40 years to do that? You know, you wonder what the motivation is now. These people have lived in the Gadsden area of Alabama for a long time. And, you know, a charge of sexual assault is very, very serious. And is it possible that Roy Moore did these things and kept it hid all of those years? I mean, those are legitimate questions that are being asked. But the news this morning is that there are at least three people out there that are refuting the testimony of Beverly Nelson with regards to what happened at the old Hickory House restaurant back there in the late 70s. And so one of the strong points here is, why isn't the media telling their story at this point? And that's what we're anxious to hear, your opinions on that this morning. All right, let's go to North Carolina. Bobby, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Two words, Herman Cain, I know you're very familiar with that,
mm-hmm.
How they came out against him in the same way. Unfortunately, Herman, I was praying that he wouldn't, but he dropped out of the race. I am praying for Judge Moore that he does it. He is paving the way for the rest of us who perhaps one day will face the same treatment. If he drops out now, then the left is going to see how easy it is to just, hey, they're going to say, hey, let's just make up a lie about those Christians. They're going to fall out of the race, and they're going to be out of our way. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement to Judge Moore and my prayers daily for him so that he will stay in the race. And if he is guilty, the truth will come out, and then it can be judged. But I have all confidence in this man, and I'm praying for him daily. I appreciate your time today.
All right, Bobby, thank you very much. We're going to try to get as many calls as we can because, as I say, this is breaking news this morning. The testimony from these others, which is basically totally refuting what you heard from Beverly Nelson, who says she was a former waitress at that restaurant back in the late 70s and has made the allegation against Judge Roy Moore that he sexually assaulted her behind that restaurant in an incident back in the late 70s. That is being refuted this morning, at least the aspect of him even being in the restaurant. That is being refuted by this testimony from these three individuals. All right, let's go to Arkansas. Bill, good morning. Welcome to San Rios in the Morning. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I'm surprised nobody's brought up the comparison between what's going on here with Judge Moore and the Army McCarthy hearings back in the 1950s. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that, and that's 65 years ago. I sure haven't forgotten it. McCarthy was going after communists and alleged communists in government, and he might have done some good at the first, but toward the end, he was going after ordinary citizens and had created an atmosphere of fear among everybody. People wouldn't talk to their own friends because they were under investigation. And finally, I guess the army had had enough of it. One of their personnel was accused of being a communist. The guy was a dentist, and MacArthur used to get up and walk out when his of the hearings whenever his case was getting thin. This time it was against him, and they weren't about to let him just walk out. And so the primary evidence that he had presented was a photograph, and it was a lengthy thing, oblong, and he had clipped a piece off the thing that just showed what he wanted to show. Mm-hmm. And some tough Army lawyers found the original photo, and it just fell apart. He fell apart. He's at the end of the thing. He was sitting there in tears, mm-hmm. with nothing to say. And one of the senators was prosecuting him, says, "Have you no shame, sir? Have you no shame?" And that was pretty much the end of his career. But people have forgotten that. It was 65 years ago, and I was a little kid. I remember that on black and white TV, and it went on for days. But that was the end of his career, and that's just about what's happening now. And I would say the same thing to the media outlets for the most part. You have you no shame. I think they're probably so low integrity and character, they would pull a stunt like this, because it got started with people they've known were predators for years and had been getting away with it. And now it suited their purpose to bring these people up. And then finally it was time to put Judge Roy Moore, who was the target in the beginning. That's my opinion on the thing.
All right, Bill, we appreciate that very much. Yeah, dishonesty has been around for a long time. But I think of late, I would say in the last 20, 25 years, the way the media operates is being called into question, the agenda of the media. And we've stated it before, you know, polls have been done about members of the mainstream media. I'm talking about national media here for the most part. 90% of them vote Democrat. And that's okay. Everybody has their political views, but there used to be a discipline in the journalistic community that you understood that you were there simply to reflect what's going on in the community, not to make judgments about it. But that has all changed. In fact, journalists today are encouraged to tell stories that suit their bias. And in particular, I think what you've been seeing over the last, I would say, 10 years in particular, a political bias. So we got a lot more calls. Fran, Jonathan, Kevin, I really do apologize. We're fresh out of time today. But this story is going to evolve today, folks. I know we'll certainly be getting reaction to it. I think the Washington media, maybe I'm being overly optimistic, will have to respond to this. They'll have to respond either one of two ways. They're going to at least seek out these individuals that have been quoted in this press release from the Roy Moore campaign and report their side of the story. And if they don't, the other question is, why not? Because it goes right to the credibility of the mainstream media in this country. So we will see. As I said, it's still a he says, she says story, but at least let us hear what the other people are saying and give them the same due diligence that you gave to Beverly Nelson a week ago. All right, great to be with you. Folks, we'll have a special from Sandy Rios tomorrow. And so I want to take this opportunity to wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving, a blessed Thanksgiving, and stay tuned to American Family Radio for great programming throughout this period. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.